Are we piping this into the nursery? Oh, man. Dude, you got to do something with the puppet hat. You're going to do a Bears thing. At least use a real hat. You hear me over there, big guy? Even the Seahawks hat wasn't even real. I don't know where he made that up at. How's everybody doing today? Huh? Are you beginning to sense there might be a theme here? Maybe we might be talking about renewal, redemption, surrendering all. Beginning to feel something like we may have a plan in this service. You know, how many of y'all use Google as a search engine? For those that don't, raise your hand. Either you don't have internet. What do you guys do? How do you search for things? You just know, right? When we started talking about this whole new beginnings, one of the words that God kept putting out to me is renew, renewal, renew yourselves, renew everything, rethink everything, renew. And I'm like, well, how do we define that, Lord? And he specifically said to me, Google it. So I did. How many people get frustrated with when you Google something, you don't get the exact answer you want right away? You got to keep scrolling for it. Oh, Lord. I typed in renew, definition. It returned 644 million results. It should have been like two. Definition A, definition B. But no. I tell you this because we have to navigate. When we talk about renewal, we have to come to a general understanding of what that means in order for us to be able to navigate it. So the definitions, right? This is what it comes to. It said, because I clicked on the first result. I'm going to always take the easy route if I can. It like definition, okay, I'm clicking on that. And it said this. It gave me two. It said this. It said, to resume something after an interruption. Right? You guys can agree with that one? Sure. Or how about to replace something that is worn out and broken. Every man in here ought to understand that one. That's our default. I need a new one. Right? TV, I need a new one. Each of these has merit. Anybody in here renewed their wedding vows? Good. The reason I say that is because psychology today says folks who renew their marriages, he says they're in trouble because they never dealt with the underlying causes. Do you guys agree with that? We try to fix something by thinking that we can just, okay, we'll take this magic bullet of marriage vow renewal and we'll go through this process and yes, everything is wonderful, but the problem still exists when we get home. How about baptism? Anybody been here baptized more than once? Couple? Two or three? My wife, her mother-in-law, my mother-in-law, I'm going to take her mother out of it and just say my mother-in-law. I told Valerie when she baptized, she says, what's the matter? Didn't the first one take? Is that true? Can we go through a public oppression of faith because the first one wasn't everything we did? Or did we do it because we wanted people to have an understanding and they wanted to see us that we were renewing our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we wanted people to know that. Right? You see, we all know them. We know the people who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, yet continue to live a life of sin. Amen? We know those people. And we wonder, well, how are they going to get into heaven if they continue to sin, even though they've been saved? I think there's a misconception that if Jesus lives within you, then you'll never have another problem. You'll never have another issue. You'll never have another trial. We all, I believe, and this is just my opinion, but this time I know I'm right. I believe we have two salvation moments. I believe that we have a salvation experience when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Amen? But then again, I also believe that we have a surrender moment. A moment that when we become so broken, I call it my coming to Jesus moment. Amen? Y'all had those? When you get so broken and you realize, but God, I've given my life to you, and yet here I am, I'm broken, Lord, and I'm weeping, and I don't understand. Lord, I need you. I need you. And it's then and only then do we really come to understand what surrendering our life to Christ truly, truly means. Am I on point here, do you think? Huh? It's just this huge revelation for us that we become so broken because I've been there. I've been on my knees saying, God, I gave my life to you. Why am I feeling this way? And I get this revelation. He says, Kevin, I never left you. I never forsaked you. But I've been pursuing you all along. I've been waiting for you to get to this moment where you can just fully pour yourself out to me, and then I can use you. The potter, mold me, shape me. The clay was in the potter's hand and became spoiled, so he remade it into something that was good and pleasing to him. I think salvation is not just a one-time event. I mean, I rededicated my life to Christ way back, man, at the turn of the century, and that was one of those coming to Jesus moments. But since then, and since I've surrendered to Jesus Christ completely and fully, I have those moments a lot. It's okay. It's okay to admit before the Lord, to fall down at this altar, to fall down at his altar, fall down at his feet and say, God, I need you. And renew yourself in him. In our passage today, Israel is fixing to, they've crossed over to the promised land. And if you remember when we talked about it in Joshua 3, the Lord said, consecrate yourselves before you cross over. And today we're going to go into Joshua chapter 5 when they have moved across. So let's go, Lord, in prayer, and then we'll get into our text today. Father God, you are creative, creator of all things, and you are merciful, and we give you thanks. You are Jehovah Makadesh, Lord, who makes us holy. It is only by your grace, Lord, that we can come into your presence, and we do so with thanksgiving and praise. Today, Lord, we give our full worship to you. For it is out of your abundant love that you sent a lamb to save your people. You're our God, and you bring us peace. You give us hope. You are the Lord who provides, and you are the Lord who heals. You are our shepherd. And we follow you, Lord, because we know your voice. So, Lord, I ask that you search each and every one of us and give us a pure heart capable of receiving the gift of your word, a word to give sight to the blind. We We know that your word is trustworthy. So, Lord, let us trust the path you have for each of us and as the body of Christ. Praise you. And we pray that our life will bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So if you'd open up your copy of God's Word today, we're going to be in Joshua chapter 5, and we're going to continue our teaching on new beginnings. Chapter 5 begins with Israel on the other side. And so if we go back through chapter 4, Joshua had picked 12 guys out, and he said, everybody grab a stone. When we've crossed over, he goes, I want you to go out there, and I want you to stack those stones in the middle of the Jordan River. I want you to build an Ebenezer. You guys remember that from the song? You know the song that we said it come from, come thy fount of many blessings, but for the adaptation that we have in our hymn world, they take that out. Probably because nobody knows what the heck an Ebenezer is. If you were going to have a talk with one of your non-Christian friends, you say, man, I had a coming to Jesus moment and I built me an Ebenezer. And they're like, what in the world are you talking about? Ebenezer is nothing more than a stack of stones. And it represents the God who helps. So God had helped them cross the Jordan River, and so they had built an Ebenezer. They had stacked stones. The very first time that we hear that is from the book of Samuel, when Samuel had helped Saul defeat the Amorites in 1 Samuel. And so here they're honoring what God had done in the past. So what I want you to take away from today, from our teachings, and when we read this passage, you'll start to see this unfold. I want you to take away about what new beginnings means as far as renewal. I want you to take away from new beginnings about rejoicing. And finally, we're going to talk about reaffirming. That's what all this has been about today. It's about us reaffirming our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's dive into renewal. I'm going to read verses 2-9. That's going to be our part on renewal. It says, at the time, my wife's running the slides today, by the way, so y'all give her a hand when you know. You do a good job, girl. You got this. Right? At the time, the Lord said to Joshua, I'm going to start at verse 2. He said, make flint knives and circumcise the sons of Israel a second time. So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the sons of Israel at Gibeth Haraloth. That you know what that actually means? That means hill of foreskins, just oh, by the way. We know it as Gilgal. But that's what that Gilbeth means. And it says, and this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them all. All the males of people who came out of Egypt and all the men of war had died in the wilderness on the way after they had come out of Egypt. Though all the people who came out had been circumcised, yet all the people who were born on the way in the wilderness after they had come out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the people of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness until all the nation, the men of war who came out of Egypt perished because they did not obey the voice of the Lord. The Lord swore to them that he would not let them see the land that the Lord had sworn to their fathers to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So it was their children whom he raised up in their place that Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. And when the circumcising of the whole nation was finished, they remained in their places in the camp until they were healed. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. And so they named that place Gilgal. One of the fundamental things that God had required of his people as part of the covenant agreement was for the men to be circumcised. Now, I'm not going to focus a whole bunch on that, on the circumcision, because that's all they pretty much talked about in these first 9 verses. But I want you to go all the way back to Abram. I said Abram, because God had made a promise with Abram that he would be the father of all nations, that his offspring would be as numerous as the stars. And when Abram said he was all in, He says, then I want you to circumcise yourself and all of your children, and your name will be Abraham. Abraham and all his people, all his men, all the sons, this would be their sign that they were in covenant with God, that the men would be circumcised. And it had gone on right up until Israel had walked up to the land and said, nope. At that point, God cut off the covenant because they had been disobedient. And it had been 40 years since that covenant had been broken. 40 years. Now the only two left were the guys who had stood there and said, yes, Joshua and Caleb. So God says to Joshua, he says, look, Joshua, I kept my part of the bargain. I walled up the Jordan River and I brought you into the promised land. Now it's time for you to do your part. He said, now it's time for you and your people and the people to return to me. So he said, make flint knives. Now keep in mind, I want you to understand that Joshua is in the Bronze Age, where they were making swords and knives out of combination of copper and tin. And yet God says, I don't want you to use the nice sharp metal ones. I want you to go over there and chip stuff out of rock and do it old school. Obedience. When Israel crossed over the Jordan River, their first task was going to be Jericho. When God sent the wall of water back down behind them, which was the Jordan River, they were cut off from escape. And then God says, circumcise all your warriors, all your men. Talking about a place of vulnerability for God's people. And yet God's providence always gave them protection so they could afford to be obedient. The Lord said to Joshua, he says, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. And so the name of that place is called Gilgal to this day. That word reproach in Hebrew means shame. It means shame. God had rolled away their shame of being captives, of being slaves, and God no longer requires circumcision today as part of the obedience. He does ask us to do one thing. He asks us to circumcise our hearts. He asks us to remove the hardness and the foreskins of our heart because of our unrighteousness, because of our shame, because of our guilt. For us men, shame usually involves a trip to the supermarket for some flowers. Maybe dinner if you've really gone one step too far. And if you're really in the doghouse, it means jewelry. I know who, look, I know, I see y'all's faces. I know who I'm talking to. But what the Lord truly requires of us, he doesn't require flowers, jewelry, dinner, sacrifices. What he requires of us is humility. He requires of us just to say, God, I have sinned against you. The Bible teaches us that he leads the humble in what is right. And he teaches those who are humble, he teaches them his way. Jeremiah 4:4 says this, it says, circumcise yourself to the Lord and remove the foreskin of your hearts. When Paul was dressing down the church of Galatia because of the fact that they were hung up on legalism, and they were hung up accepting Jesus Christ through a whole bunch of ways that the Jews had done, like circumcision and other things. Paul's teaching him. He says, no, I'm still going to tell you that faith comes justification. Justification comes by faith alone. Faith. It serves as a reminder for us, too, that we shouldn't go back to our old ways. I heard somebody say this sometime, and it says, the price of doing the same old thing is much higher than the price of change. That Christ Jesus, by his sacrificial death and atonement of sin on the cross at Calvary, by his death, burial, and resurrection, he says, you don't have to do that because I have freed you from the yoke of bondage that you have been up against the whole time. All those old things we can put aside and we can start the new way because I have made you a new creation. If we're still hung up on some of those old practices and those old things and some of our old belief systems, and we're not doing like my brother said about filling up that jar to change in our direction when we're pointed to our way and we need to point to God's way, if we're not doing that, then what place does Christ have in our lives? I ask you. Galatians, he said this. He said, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. He goes on and says this. He says, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Amen. Golly, it just reminds me, man, how the second of the all, love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. The Lord poured himself out for our sins, past, present, and future, on the cross at Calvary. On the cross, that whole thing said, I love you. Do we have that kind of love? Or better yet, do we want that kind of love flowing from us? I think I choose the latter, that I want that kind of love flowing from me. If that's the case, then we must circumcise our hearts. For new beginnings, we have to renew ourselves through our faith. Second, I'm going to talk about rejoicing. Since while the people of Israel were encamped at Gilgal, they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month in the evening on the plains of Jericho. And the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. And the manna ceased that day after they ate of the produce of the land, and there was no longer manna for the people of Israel, but they ate of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. So they renewed their covenant, and then they celebrated the Passover for the first time in God's promised land. What an amazing, amazing, amazing feeling that must have been. I imagine that Passover was a little different from them than the ones that they had celebrated for the past 40 years in the wilderness. Because here they are, finally in the promised land. But the bigger thing happens the next day. The next day, when there's no more manna, and they're eating something different. I'm guessing it would have been like us eating oatmeal for 40 years every day, 3 meals a day, 24/7. And God said, today I'm going to take you to IHOP. At the all-you-can-eat pancakes. Amen. Heck yeah. That's my thing. If you read the scriptures, now I'm going to have a little fun with this, okay, just to preface this. They had unleavened cakes. In other words, they ate communion wafers. How many of y'all like communion wafers? Huh? How many of y'all like communion wafers? No, you don't. Their first meal in the promised land, man. They're eating crackers. And they're rejoicing over that. They're rejoicing that they're eating something different. Praise God, man. Is that such a change? Can we not accept that we've been eating manna for the last however many years? And today, from this day forward, as we renew ourselves, as we renew our bodies, as we renew the body of Christ, today we're going to be eating unleavened cake and parched grain. And tomorrow it gets better, because tomorrow we're going to eat from the produce of the land. I'm excited. How many of y'all have the same thing for dinner once or twice a week? Huh? Maybe meatloaf Monday, taco Tuesday, spaghetti Fridays. How many people go to the same place to eat supper on Sunday after church? And you have the same thing every Sunday. Fried chicken. No? I'm guilty. Every Friday night at Casa Mims, we have tacos. Now, we change it up. Someday it's flour, someday it's corn. Someday it's beef, someday it's chicken, someday it's turkey, someday it's chorizo. But the bottom line is, a taco is a taco. It's a tortilla and it's a filling. And for the very first time, they were eating something different too. This passage speaks of the fruits of the land. It says, rejoice in the new. Too often we get bound up by the status quo, thinking about our old past. And God's like, man, I got something amazing for you if you'll just trust me. Kevin, you're saying to yourself, go ahead, Kevin, I get it. Moses said, remember the past. He did. But not in that context. He said, remember how you were once slaves and how God delivered you and then called you his own. Remember where you were, but remember where you are and know where you're going. Rejoice in what God has done. He paid the highest price by sending his son, his one and only son, to the cross for our salvation. He went to the cross to die there to be cursed as an offering for the sins of mankind. My sins, your sins, past sins, present sins, future sins. It's all there on the cross. So our freedom is assured. But do we continue to look for manna in our lives? Do we continue to look for the manna? Or do we feast on the inheritance? I choose to feast on the inheritance. The Bible tells us this in Colossians. It says, set your minds on things that are above, not on things of this earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Are you getting the picture here? God had moved from the supernatural provision of the manna to the provision of the promised inheritance, the fruits of the land. No longer would they have the status quo. Which means, what does this mean for us? It means sometimes we've got to look at ourselves and take an inventory of our own lives and see if we've fallen into that trap of status quo. How about the church? Have we done the same thing? That we become so afraid of what God has for us in the future that we're stuck? Are you with me on this? You see, I'm not talking about in our lives or in our church or anything. I'm not talking about change just for the sake of change. I'm talking about healthy change. I'm talking about renewing ourselves with God, renewing our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to him, and seeing what's on the other side of that. Stop trying to figure things out on our own and allow God to lead us to the future. I get it, man. Change is upsetting. Nobody likes to have the boat rocked. Nobody likes our boat being rocked. We're comfortable. But in this passage, God shows us it's perfectly acceptable to allow our circumstances to change, because when God changes our circumstances, he provides for us in a different way. We don't have to rely on the way that he took care of us in the past, because now we know he's going to take care of us in the future. He shifts his methods. Over here, he was making it fall from the sky. He said, over here, it's already on the trees. All you have to do is go get it. Isn't that exciting? All you have to do is go get it. Not only is that, that should be encouraging for us all, knowing that all we have to do is go take what is already ours. Remember what he said to Joshua? Everywhere your foot sets, I have already given to you. All we have to do is go get it. Do we doubt that his abundance is not enough for us? Let us give thanks for the changes in our lives. Let us rejoice. And here's the kicker. Let us rejoice because we don't even know what's out there. But we know God has a plan for us. And so let us rejoice that he's going to be with us. Finally, I want to talk about reaffirming. It says when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted his eyes and he looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said, are you for us? Are you for our adversaries? The man said, no, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord, and now I have come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth, and he worshipped him and said to him, what does the Lord say to his servant? And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take off your sandals. Take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. Joshua did so. The first major task, once they got done consecrating themselves to God and circumcision and reestablish their covenant, was to stand before and take Jericho. Go back 40 years, and Joshua was, he was his Moses' right-hand guy, military commander, strategist. So he's out taking a walk, looking and wondering, Lord, how is all this going to happen? He sees a man with his sword drawn. Look at Joshua's courage. He walks up to him. Walks up to him because he knows that God is on his side, that he will never leave him, and he will never forsake him. Because the Lord told him to be strong and be courageous, so he walks towards this man. And he says, are you for us or against us? Man says to him, no. I am the commander of the army of the Lord, and now I have come. But just for a minute, let that sink in. Now I have come. You did everything that you were supposed to do. You waited on me in the river. consecrated yourself before you came. You circumcised yourself. You have done everything that I have asked you to do, and now I have come. People ask me all the time, but where is this Jesus in the Old Testament? With Abraham? The Lord came to him as a traveler to share a friendly meal. To Jacob, he came as someone to wrestle with and bring him into a place of submission. The three Hebrew guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they went into the furnace knowing that Jesus would be there with them. And then he comes to Joshua as the commander of the Lord's army. Jesus said to this, to Matthew, he said, don't you realize if I could ask my Father for 1,000 angels to protect us? Remember in the garden? Judas had kissed him. All heck's breaking loose. Peter grabs a sword, slices off the high priest servant's ear. Jesus said, put your sword away. Don't you know? Don't you know that I can command my Father to bring down an army of angels? That's not what's supposed to happen. I'm supposed to go to that cross. Our Lord always comes to us when we need him. Our Lord, let me say it again. Listen to what I'm saying. Our Lord always comes to us when we need him. He always comes in a way that we need him. For us, we have to learn to recognize that when he comes, we have to recognize when he comes, and we have to be in tune with him to recognize when he is with us and when he speaks to us. There's a story I'm going to share, and I hope I can get through with this. And then we're going to move into our time of response. Story of a doctor and a little boy. Little boy's got a problem with his heart. He's about to go in and have an exploratory surgery back in when they did these sort of things. And he's meeting with the doctor. And the doctor's trying to explain to the little 8-year-old boy what's about to happen. He says, Tomorrow I'm going to open up your heart. He says to the boy. And the boy looks up at him and he says, you're going to find Jesus there. The surgeon continued. He says, I'm going to open your heart and I'm going to check the damage. And the boy was adamant. He said, but you're going to find Jesus there. The doctor said, when I see the damage, I'm going to suture you back up and then we're going to think about the next step, says the doctor. The boy says, you're going to find Jesus in my heart. Because that's what my Sunday school teacher told me. She said it says so in the Bible. And besides that, our Sunday school song says he lives there. He lives there. So the doctor does the surgery. And as the doctor's in there, he's making notes. But in his mind, what he sees, he knows that there is no hope for this boy. There's not going to be a cure. In a few months, this little boy is going to die. And as he's writing these notes down, the thought comes to him. He becomes distracted. He cries out, he says, God, why did you do this to this little boy? Why can he not live a normal life? And just like God does, He speaks to the surgeon's heart. He says, that boy is part of my flock. And he will always be part of my flock. And where he is going, there will be no more suffering. And there will be no more pain. And at some point, his parents will be there with him. And so will you. The next day, as the doctor's in there talking to the parents, he begins to tell them. And the boy opens his eyes and he asks very quietly. He says, so doctor, he says, what did you find? What did you find in there? And like me, with tears flowing down his face, the surgeon looked at the little boy and he said, son, I found Jesus there. I found Jesus there. What do you desire of me, Lord? Take off your sandals. This is holy ground. Take off your sandals. This is holy ground. Holiness was given to us by the Lord by confessing and repentance of our sin. If you want to come up, Mary, we're going to get into this. You see, there are times in our lives when we have to make a commitment to fall in worship, to dedicate our lives or to rededicate our lives to Christ. That's what this whole service has been about, is reconsecrating ourselves to the Lord. We can't have the victories unless we allow God to fight with us and for us. And we can't experience all the Lord has for us until we affirm or reaffirm our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. After God commanded the army be circumcised, he said this, stay here until you are healed. Stay here until you are healed. We all have a place of brokenness in our lives. And brokenness comes from one place and one place only. It comes from disobedience. It comes from us heading our way and not following God's way. And we know how hard it is to break free from these habits. We know how hard it is. Stay here until you are healed. He said to Ezekiel, he says, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. Stay here until you're healed. And I will remove the heart of stone from you, from your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Stay here until you're healed. Everything that's going on right now in our nation and in our world, makes many of us come before today in need of a new heart and seeing a new way of doing things, one that has been hardened by all we watch and we read and we hear, and instead we need the one softened by God. That's what this is all about. That's what new beginnings is all about. It's about coming today and surrendering our life to Christ. It's about reestablishing our covenant with Him. It's about repenting and confessing and then receiving the grace of forgiveness that God offered through Jesus Christ on the cross. It's about coming today and becoming a new creation and remembering those feelings that we had the very first time we got to that place of brokenness and we said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. It's about remembering when you had that first true encounter.